You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Nancy Ubel. Nancy Ubel is a master clinical hypnotherapist, certified crystal healer, and shamanic practitioner. A former executive director of the ARE, Nancy is a popular and experienced teacher, workshop presenter, and ARE tours leader who taught the dreams and meditation class for the Cayce Riley School of Massotherapy. She was a hypnotherapist at the ARE Health Spa and has mentored several e-groups on various aspects of soul development. She gives talks and workshops about past lives, spiritual growth, and self-healing across the country. She is a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, the International Association for Regression Research and Therapies, the Society for Shamanic Practitioners, and the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. In her private practice in the San Francisco area, Nancy Ubel combines various modalities, including information from the Cayce readings to assist her clients. She is the mentor for the online learning e-group, Transform Your Thoughts, Transform Your Life, beginning October 23rd. Nancy Ubel also has a new book out, Mind Walking, Rewriting Your Past to Create Your Future. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Art.
Now, you've written a book called Mind Walking, Rewriting Your Past to Create Your Future. What is that book about?
Well, in this book, I explore the transformative power of past life regression to correct negative and limiting patterns that originated in past lives. Also, how we can use this process to reactivate and retrieve skills and talents that we mastered in former times. And most importantly, how to use this tool to energetically change our current life patterns, the negative ones, of course, to create the future we desire, one that is more in keeping with our life's purpose. Now, there are several different components to this book. One is background information on the spiritual meaning of issues or difficulties that present themselves in our lives, such as physical difficulties or relationship challenges. So I've included regression scripts so that the reader can do his or her own regression if they desire to do that. And also, I've included scripts for physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relationship, life issues, even for exploring other planetary sojourns, if you could believe that.
Interesting.
And now the book provides a script at the beginning to explore a happy past life as a starting place. And the last script in the book is one that leads the person back to a past life to retrieve gifts and talents, bring them into the present and then into the future to create the life the person desires.
So then they're doing a regression on themselves.
They can, yes. They can read it and then record it if they choose. They can read it and go into a meditation.
Ah.
They could have someone else to help them with it.
So they could
go to a professional and a past life regressionist and have a regression. Once they recognize that this is a tool that they can use that they may not have known before.
So they can record it and perhaps play it through headphones or something.
Exactly.
While they're relaxing.
Exactly, yes.
I didn't even think of that. That's a great idea.
Or even on their computer.
Oh, yes.
Record it on their computer.
For those who may not know, what is a past life regression?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, past life regression is going back through a hypnotic trance back to a past life. And in the regressions that I do, I direct them based upon the client's desires rather than just directing them to go to any past lives, because many of the people who come have had perhaps thousands of past lives. So it's much better that it's directed and that it is for a specific purpose, to explore, to retrieve, to do spiritual healing if necessary, to correct patterns that occur in the current life. So there are many benefits to doing past life regression.
Well, you mentioned there were 4 sections to your book?
Mm-hmm. You want to know what the other sections are.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, an important aspect of the book are the stories of the actual regressions that I conducted to assist my clients in healing at all levels. And that's why I've included the scripts for these different types of patterns that people are experiencing, like physical or relationship life patterns, so that they can read what somebody else is experiencing and what that meant for them and how going back to a past life helped them identify the cause and then do what healing was required. And these aren't told in the normal hypnotherapy book format of questions and answers. But instead, I'm reporting the regression in a way that talks about or reports on the spiritual and energetic issues that they encountered, perhaps vows that they made in a past life that were meaningful then, like if they were in a monastery, they may have made a vow of poverty. And in today's world, that does not benefit them any longer. And so they can go back and release that energetic vow. So I talk about energetic issues in addition to other types of issues and how they were resolved. And also the energetic clearing that I did, because we can have imprints from traumas from another life, and we can have other types of energy blockages in our energetic system that keep us from living our life to the fullest in this life.
Hmm.
And I actually include energetic clearing in my regressions, although that's not a normal part of past life regression, but it is something that I've been called to do, and it's very beneficial. So many of these people had real down-to-earth problems that they were struggling with, such as life-threatening physical problems, addictions, recurring relationship issues. And so they're ones that some of the readers may be able to identify. They're not just fluffy issues, even though there are spiritual regressions that are very uplifting, but also they speak to the ordinary person and give them some hope and some idea about what can be done to correct that. And that explores the question of reincarnation of famous people. Because there's a lot of controversy about reincarnation of famous people. And I felt that the scales had gotten tipped too far into the thought that it was that no famous people reincarnate. And so I tried to give some differing views on this, just to bring some light to the issue. And I've included an interview with Walter Semkew, who's a medical doctor. He works with Kevin Ryerson, who was made famous by Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb. And he works to identify some souls who have been famous in the past and reincarnated in the present. Hmm. And he does this more on a, if this can be scientific, more on a scientific basis rather than doing it through regression and working with Kevin and the entities or beings that he channels. And also in this chapter, I've included the case of Donald Norsick, who began having nightmares after he saw the movie Dr. Zhivago. And in the nightmares, he re-experiences death as Tsar Nicholas II, and he used past life regression, even though he really didn't believe in it at the time, was pretty skeptical, but he used past life regression to retrieve very detailed information that he remembered about that life, and that he was able then to verify in doing very extensive research on that time in Russia. So you can see this is more than just a self-help hypnosis past life regression book.
Did he say anything about Anastasia?
Yes, he did. But that is information that I don't have at hand.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
But yes, he has.
Interesting. Well, did you use any of your own personal experiences in writing the book?
Well, actually, I did. Oh. I used some past life flashbacks that I had that weren't necessarily pleasant ones, but they did bring to, but because I was part of an ARE study group, a Search for God study group, when I had these experiences, I knew that my soul was bringing these to me to show me a pattern in my life. And there were a series of them. One was a dream in which a hood was being placed over my head just as I was about to have my head chopped off. Another one where I was imprisoned under the ground in a dungeon of some kind with a metal plate over the top. And then one that I experienced when I was driving with my husband through Georgia, and we got lost, and it was getting dark, and I felt this overwhelming fear, and suddenly I was back in a past life as a black slave, a man who was being hunted down to be hanged, and my husband was one of the men who was coming to hang me.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Reflections, The Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Nancy Ubel.
And suddenly I was back in a past life as a black slave, a man who was being hunted down to be hanged, and my husband was one of the men who was coming to hang me.
Hmm.
Not very pleasant, but I knew that there was a reason that I had gotten those, especially so close together. So I said, so I asked myself, what is the common theme? And for me, the common theme was being a victim. And so then I then had to say, okay, where in my life am I acting as a victim? And then use that to change how I responded to situations, which is the real benefit of doing this kind of work. When we bring our unconscious patterns to consciousness and then decide to act differently. I was also guided to have my own past life regression to identify the cause of a life pattern that I never could quite put a label on. And I knew that the pattern existed, but I could follow the thread, but not really know what it was to identify it like I did with the victim pattern. And so when I was in India in 2006 at the World Congress of Past Life Regression Therapists and met a woman who lives near me, who is on the board of IART, which is a professional past life regression organization. And so I was guided to go to her for a regression. And in that process, I was able not only to label the pattern, which was, I always felt that I had been blindsided throughout my life, that things happened just out of the blue, and change took a dramatic turn in my life, which was not positive. And so in that regression, I was taken back to a time in China, in very, very early in China, when I was born into the royal family, but I was born as a female and rejected because I was a female. And I didn't care because I was on a mission from God, and it didn't matter to me what the others thought. And I just did my mission. And I realized how closely that portrayed some of my characteristics in this life. I'm very single-minded, and when I have a goal, I just go for that goal. And I realized as a result that if I want to be supported by other people, I need to be supportive of them also. They also have a mission. And so I'm really working now at my own relationships and how I relate with other people. And even though I'm continuing to work on my own mission, to be supportive of them.
What part did the Edgar Cayce readings play in developing the book?
Well, the Edgar Cayce readings permeate the book, and they're really the basis and the structure. Edgar, as you know, gave life readings for people. They weren't past life regressions, but he did point out to them certain lives that they had that impacted their current life so that they could, for those where they had weaknesses or patterns that were negative, they needed to be mindful of them and work on changing that. And also the ones where they were bringing in gifts to this life so they could build on those. So in a sense, he was giving a past life reading regression for these people. So they could then take the information and do what we do in past life regressions.
Well, how can you work toward discovering your soul's purpose?
You can work toward discovering your soul's purpose. You can do a regression for that. There are several different kinds of regressions. One might be a past life regression to go back to a life that is impacting this one or where you had a high spiritual connection. There is also a process of going to in-between lives where you're setting the stage and making your decisions for the life that you want to live this time around, the goals, so to speak, that you have for your soul development. And that's a very good way to do that. But looking at what draws you, what you have passion for, without putting a label on it, because it does not necessarily have to manifest as the label you might put on it. When I was young, I was very drawn to the Egyptian period with the mummies and so forth, and I wanted to be an archaeologist. My father dissuaded me from that, and I went on to get an MBA in accounting, quite far from being an archaeologist. And I always had a desire to go to the Library of Congress if I should ever retire, which I never planned to do, and do research there. But when I came to the ARE, I realized that I was at the Library of Congress.
Oh, yes.
The spiritual Library of Congress, where they have wonderful books that are not available anymore, and that there are special collections. And I was doing spiritual archaeology, which I feel like I continue to do. So that's why it's good not to put a label on it, but to follow that. Start following the thread and doing the things that you need to do, that you're called to do. And, of course, ask for spiritual guidance. We get it when we ask. Because of free will, it's important that we ask.
How do you know when you're on the right track?
Well, you know, by, Casey would say, by the fruits of the Spirit. If you're encountering the same negative patterns over and over again and you have roadblocks and things are getting more difficult, that means you're not on the right track. Now, when you're doing your spiritual work, it does not mean that everything is going to be rosy, but it does mean that you're getting guidance, you're feeling connected, you know that you are not alone in this process, and you feel inner joy.
Well, now, your book is titled Mind Walking. Now,
yes.
What does that mean specifically? Is that past life regression with the energy aspect you mentioned, or is there something else?
Past life regression is a unique process, and it is different from traditional past life regression, but I have adapted it for this purpose, and I'll explain that in a minute. But in mind walking, a person actually enters into what Carlos Castaneda and Michael Harner call non-ordinary reality. It's another dimension, a place of no space and no time. It's where shamans traditionally do their healing work and access information. So it's a place where things can take place instantaneously. But it's not like a typical hypnotic trance. Now, Casey said that for the subconscious, there is no past or present. There's no past or future. It's all the present. So in this space, it's the present. And that's why whatever you do in this space, it happens now. And in mind walking, in the process in the book, a person actually enters into their brain and identifies the neural pathways that carry negative or self-destructive thoughts, and then they rewire the brain and create positive pathways with replacement positive thoughts. And there is a mind-walking script included in the book.
They rewire the brain.
Yes, you're actually you're shutting off the energy to the neural pathway that carries the negative thought. And when it gets no energy, it starts to shrivel up. And then in thinking a new positive thought, it begins to create a new neural pathways where the neurons link together. And as you add energy to that, emotion to it, it builds more and more. So the more you think that thought, the more it grows and affects your life. So instead of when a trigger situation comes up, instead of unconsciously thinking the old negative thought, your mind automatically responds with the positive one. And
wow.
In the mind walking regression, the person is led back along the pathway, walking the neural pathway back in time to the originating lifetime where that thought was created, and then doing whatever spiritual work is necessary to change it. Sometimes just knowing the information is sufficient, but oftentimes it requires some kind of spiritual remediation work. Asking for forgiveness, giving forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, that's often a big one. So when that work is completed, there's no longer any need for that pattern to make itself known in our lives anymore. The work is done. We've done the work. The pattern can go away.
How did this process come about?
This was quite remarkable because a couple of years ago, I woke up and remembered a really powerful experience, an out-of-body experience that I had in the sleep state. I'm not calling this a dream because this was not a dream. And I'm sure many of the listeners have had dreams that they never forget. And this is one of those. And I journaled it at the time. And in this experience, I had been invited. That's a key word. Invited is a key word. I had been invited into someone's brain to correct an erroneous thought, to rewire the brain. And I knew how to do this. I don't know if I had learned this in a past life or that this was something that I do on a regular basis, but I was guided then to not only journal this, but to start making this available to other people and to adapt it in a way that they could use it. And a past life regression is one of the ways that it can be used. That's why it's included in the book. It's very powerful.
Do you have to believe in reincarnation and past lives in order to benefit from a regression?
Actually, you don't. You can benefit from it by considering it as a symbol or message from your subconscious.
We'll be right back with more with Nancy Ubel. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Nancy Ubel.
You can benefit from it by considering it as a symbol or message from your subconscious, just as in a dream, your subconscious is sending you messages that are symbolic, and you wake up and you say, well, what did that mean? What did that animal in my dream mean? Or some other symbol. And then as you work through it, you come to an understanding and know what your subconscious is trying to tell you. So you could think of it as a metaphor and work with the information that comes. As long as it's of benefit to you, what does it matter if you believe in a past life or not?
Can you give the listeners one or two examples of the types of healing or soul growth that have taken place through mind walking or past life regression?
Oh, I can. This one was a mind walking experience. One was a woman who volunteers on the weekend. She's got a regular job, but she volunteers on the weekend on a tow truck for Sports Car Club of America, and she picks up disabled cars, with the help of the tow truck, of course. And when she turned 60, suddenly she thought she was old and feeble and couldn't do that anymore. Hmm. Now, nothing had changed except that this birthday was a marker of some kind. So we did a mind-walking regression, And in the regression, she went back to being a young girl in the 1800s in the South. And earlier in that life, she had hurt her leg and for some reason thought she should have been able to heal it, but she wasn't able to. And she had brothers and always tried to keep up with what the boys did. And during one of those times when she was trying to keep up with the boys, she got stuck in a swamp during a storm and died. And her dying thought, and the dying thoughts have lots of energy to them. And that's why death vows are very powerful and can impact us in a current life. So her dying thought was that if I'm old, it's not my fault. I'm no longer responsible for my failing. So for some reason, turning 60 triggered this thought that now she's old, nothing is her fault anymore. She can cruise, so to speak. And so with that, with recognizing what had caused that, she forgave herself. She forgave that little girl who couldn't fix herself and released that thought. And she actually, during the next week, could feel the adjustment going throughout her entire body, that thought was so pervasive. And then she went back to being a volunteer and lifting disabled cars off the track again with no problem.
Did that take one session, or how many? Did it take a lot of hard work?
One session.
Wow. Is that common for these things to take one session?
Sometimes it is. And now I've worked with her before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very easy to for this particular person to do that kind of work. But the beauty of past life regression is that it doesn't take years for people to have positive impact from their sessions. So it can happen sometimes just in one session. Sometimes, depending if there are related issues, sometimes it takes more. And the person has to be willing and ready to do the work. They're not always ready to do the work that's needed. For example, if they're holding on to anger or fear, they might still be getting some comfort from the anger, and they're feeling it's righteous anger, and they shouldn't let it go. But that really doesn't benefit the person, because then they're energetically tied to the other person. In a sense, the other person is still, maybe unconsciously, manipulating the person who's holding on to the anger.
Wow, so then it takes a lot of self-work when you're done with the session to rewire the brain.
Well, the rewiring in the mind-walking process, the rewiring is actually done during the process.
Oh.
And so it happens, because it's in it's no space and no time, it can happen immediately. Past life regressions, sometimes the work is done with just one session, and other times it takes a couple of sessions, especially if there are related issues. But this doesn't have to be a process that takes forever. Of course, once you do one issue, it's very often that you find another one to work on.
Oh, yes.
You're not working right. It's not necessarily the same one. So I've got a couple more samples or stories that I could
show. Oh, yes. That'd be interesting.
Okay. Well, there's one regression at the beginning of the book that's really episodic regression from the beginning of this person's life to the end. It's not a regression that I did, but it was one that a scientist friend of mine had several years ago, or some years ago, and he, because of his scientific nature, had taken very specific notes, and he wanted to share this story with other people. And in this story, he and his brother were very young, and they were being left by their parents in the care of other people, as the parents, along with other people, leapt on a wagon train, undoubtedly coming west somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he and the brother worked very hard, and they actually went through a series of different families. And the theme through this was very apparent, of him being rejected and abandoned through this whole process. Eventually, he wound up living in an Indian village and married a woman of the tribe there. And they had a wonderful life together. And as they were walking one day, as they were hunting, his rifle went off and it killed her. When he went back to the village, they didn't believe him, and that one of them killed him. And when he died, his body went into a beautiful place, very serene, beautiful place. So I asked him, when he told me the story, I said, well, what benefit did you have by learning all of that? And it really wasn't what I thought it was. But the Native American woman that he had married was his current wife. Hmm. And the brother in that life is his older brother in this life. And he had joined the army in that life. And the one of his friends there was his best friend in this life. And so he knows that their personality traits were similar from that life, that pioneer life, to this life. So he knows that he's going to see them again in other lives. But even more importantly, before the regression, he had an ever-present foreboding fear of dying. And after the regression, he was no longer afraid of dying. It had disappeared. So I'll share another one that will speak to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a client who was looking for a meaningful relationship. She was shy. She had some issues with alcohol previously, although she had stopped drinking at this point. And she put up, so she no longer had alcohol as her protector in dealing with other people. So instead she put up a wall with her sharp tongue. And in her regression, she found herself also, as a Native American woman, there were a lot of Native American stories throughout the book. I'm not sure why that is, but it's just an interesting thread through the book. So she was a Native American woman who was carried off by members of another tribe, and she was tied to a stake. She was badly treated, and especially because she kept swearing at them. And her dying thoughts, again, the power of the dying thoughts, was that she would never be vulnerable again. She needed to be protected. And so in this life, first the alcohol and then the sharp tongue were her protection. So we removed that. We did the work that was necessary for forgiveness for this girl, forgiveness for these others, not forgiving the acts that they did, but adding energy, giving energy to change and releasing the tie. The tie can actually drain energy from cords. Energetic cords can drain energy from one lifetime to another. So that's part of the regression I do, is to look for any connecting cords between lifetimes, between people, where it's draining the energy from the person in the current life and releasing that. The great thing is she is now in a relationship.
Well, it seems through some of these past life regressions, people experience current family members or friends in different relationships previously. Is that something that's common?
That is common, because we tend to incarnate in soul groups of souls that have incarnate over and over again to have specific learning experiences or at the same level of soul development.
We'll be right back with more with Nancy Ubel. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Nancy Ubel.
So we may play many different roles in our lives with the people who are currently in our lives, like my husband, who was my executioner in a previous life. So it's not always pleasant, but it's part of the learning process. I like to think of it as a ensemble of actors who have a script and they play a certain role, and then they the next time around they change roles so that they can learn. It's all part of the learning process and part of our soul development. And so it's not unusual for us to meet people in our lives when we say, and we know, where do I know this person from? We can have maybe an instant rapport with that person, or maybe have instant antagonism. And that could be, not necessarily, but it could be a past life remembrance. Michael Newton did a lot of work on life between lives, and he wrote two books, Journey of a Soul and Destiny of Souls, that explores this in detail.
Oh.
Those are really helpful books to read to learn more about soul groups. It's not unusual for people to say, well, why was I born into this family? Nobody else is like me.
Hmm.
And we've selected that family for a very specific purpose because they've set up the dynamic for us to learn the life lessons that we have chosen. We're not victims in this. That's really the key thing. So we're not victims. This is part of what we've agreed to do.
Well, that's a lot to think about. You also have an upcoming e-group called Transform Your Thoughts, Transform Your Life.
Oh, e-groups are wonderful, and I've mentored this particular e-group for several years now.
And these are from October 20th to November 16th.
That's correct.
And I guess people can access it at edgarcasey.org under education.
That is correct. Under education, and then under education is e-groups.
And now for an update on the conferences coming up at the ARE in Virginia Beach. From September 24th to the 25th, Your Psychic Intelligence, Mastering Your Natural Intuitive Abilities. Find your best ways to access and trust your inner psychic. Experiential hands-on training will give you powerful yet practical tools to access the wisest part of yourself, your inner soul wisdom. With renowned clairvoyant and Casey-based psychic development trainer, Linda Schiller-Hanna. From October 8th to the 10th, Zahi Hawass, Secrets from the Sands, the annual Ancient Mysteries Conference on Atlantis, Egypt, Lemuria, and India. World-renowned archaeologist Dr. Zahi Hawass returns to the ARE with the latest research direct from the Giza Plateau, joined by authors John Van Auken, Mitch Horowitz, plus Peter Woodbury, James Mullaney, Ellen Casey, and Jason Parker. From October 22nd to the 23rd, The Endless Now, Connecting to the Source of Your True Soul Nature. Gary Renard, author of The Disappearance of the Universe, draws from A Course in Miracles and other sources to help you discover how the all-encompassing divine love that is perfect spirit can transform your view of reality, help you face life without fear, and gain true inner peace. With this comes a special post-conference option, an evening of cosmic comedy, with Swami Beyondananda, also known as Steve Behrman. To find out more about these and other upcoming conferences, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. It's time for the Thought for the Day, and today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a CD out called Connecting to Your Higher Self. Hello.
Hi.
And what's today's Thought for the Day?
Today's thought for the day comes from reading 1000-21. No, as has been given to self, to others, when there is trouble, doubt, or fear, the greater portion lies within thine own consciousness. If you would have others show themselves lovely, be lovely yourself. If you would have friends, be friendly. If you would make for those things which would bring about more harmonious association in any phase of the experience, know that they must first be lived, conceived, born, and reared within thine own consciousness. My heart's just sitting there because I'm dying to see what you think about that.
Some people perhaps think others don't like me, or they go into a party or they go to a group of people and they say, no one's friendly to me. And they don't realize they're not friendly to others. They're trying to take in love or friendliness or kindness without first sending it out. I guess you have to send that signal out first sometimes to get that. And it can cause great frustration in some people because they don't realize that perhaps they need to bring that, I guess, that mentality first in their mind in order to attract that. Otherwise, if they're going out with negativity, they'll attract negativity.
Yes, and that's that. When you said about putting it in your mind, Edgar Cayce said, mind is the builder and spirit is the result. That's so important. That it, and there is saying is in our own consciousness, we have everything what we need, everything that we need to make the right choices to live. I believe heaven on earth. I call it heaven on earth. And when you said that, I hear that so many times from people. Oh, I always get this, or this always happens. And isn't that powerful to know that we all have a choice?
Choice
is there.
I guess sometimes we all do that. I know sometimes when I'm in traffic and I need to get somewhere, a couple of times I'm at a stoplight, I think, oh, I'm getting all stoplights. I'm not going to get there in time. And rather than thinking, this is just a normal part of driving. Sometimes I hit a stoplight, sometimes I don't. But if you look at all the negatives, that's going to perhaps affect you in bigger ways.
It does. And you feel yourself spiraling. And so if you feel the spiral of your thoughts, they get bigger and they get, you know, they get so enormous that every little thing is huge. And so the positive side of it is saying, oh, I'm at the stoplight. What is it that I'm supposed to see while I'm stopping?
Oh, that's a good point.
Helps.
Yes, maybe there's a purpose for that. Wow.
Yes, I do believe there is.
Well, thank you for doing the thought for the day.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Nancy Ubel for talking to us. To find out more, go to www.nancyubel.com. That's NancyEubel.com. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day. And most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce.